You're listening to audio from St. Luke Church in Lexington, Kentucky. If you'd like to learn more or donate to this ministry, please check out our website at stlukelex.com.
How's everybody? Are you sure? I've lived here 5 years now. I know how the collective soul of the Lexington community goes this time of year. Do we need a collective sigh? Come on. Okay. Are we okay? Okay. You know, the last month I was in college, my dad and I, we took a trip. I guess it was our collective sigh of sorts. Was getting ready to enter into the working world. So we went and played golf in northern Michigan. And that's a beautiful time of year to go, sort of early June, and I'm getting ready to work full time. And my dad begins to spill all of his pearls of wisdom. And some great ones he shared with me, things like, don't ever talk about another guy in a men's restroom. A true story, I've watched that one play out. It was not pretty. Almost came to blows, and this was at work. Don't ever ask a woman if she's pregnant. Give her the joy of telling you. I've watched that play out a couple of times, too. Not good. And then the last one he shared with me was this, really simple. Say what you're going to do, then do what you said. Just good stuff, right? Say what you're going to do, then do what you said. Be reliable. Gives you an opportunity to be reliable. And boy, I wish I could nail this one all the time. But I think reality is that I don't. And I suspect if you're honest with yourself, you don't either. And that's a funny thing because we live in this world right now that is so incredibly connected and yet disconnected at the same time, yes? If you want to get a hold of somebody, it's immediate, instant gratification. Now, whether or not they're going to put their phone on silent or they're going to monitor your call or whatever, well, that might be a different story. But you can call them on the phone, you can text them, you can use IMs and DMs and everything else M's to get in touch with people. It's incredibly connected, and yet at the same time, it's incredibly disconnected. And it's funny, you make plans with folks, and then the plans spin. Ever noticed that lately? Better opportunities come along, I could do something else, I could do four things in which one night, and then the question is, which one is it that I'm going to pick? And so that's the world we live in. It's connected and yet disconnected at the same time. There's such a sheer volume of options and information that's flowing at you constantly. In fact, in some ways, I might say there's too many options. Are you with me? Like, what do I pick? What do I do? Which way do I go? What do I listen to? Who's right? Who's wrong? It's a collective sigh of sorts, isn't it? And when you're on the receiving end of someone who didn't execute, how does that make you feel? Nobody's happy. Kind of like a game when it doesn't work out the way that we wanted it to. Because we had an expectation, and the expectation was, you were going to follow through. You said what you'd do. Now, why isn't that you didn't do what it is that you said? Why the plan change? Why the deviation from course? We had this whole thing laid out, and I think that was Israel's struggle for years. God had made all sorts of promises along the way. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. It's going to turn out A-okay. And yet, that's not how it went. In fact, for years, they struggled. How many of you know that God never works quickly? There's no IMs and DMs in the kingdom of God. Have you noticed this? God always seems to take time. He's slow, crafty, purposeful. There's a desired outcome. It might take 400 years to get there, but God is going to make it come to fruition. It's just never on your time. And so meanwhile, we squalor in pig pens at times, as we talked about last week. And that's the moment that we realize how badly we need the promises of God. God, you said this. I've made a complete mess of things. Could we just deviate course and get there a little more quickly than your timetable? How about you work on mine? And we remind God of the promises over and over and over again. How many of you, though, know that the road home is a long walk? It takes a while to get there because God never does anything quickly. And so thus far, we've learned about this doctrine of adoption. You've learned it conceptually. You've learned that you're blessed and chosen in Christ and adopted, and God treasures the underdog, and He wants to redeem His runaway children. I think the real question is, for those who are waiting for the plan to come to fulfillment, how and when would this happen? And thankfully, John chapter 1 gives us the answer. Listen to this reading today. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." And so all of these promises that the people of God had heard, that if you return to the Lord your God, he'll restore you, that if you are the furthest away from God in exile, he's going to open up your graves and raise you from them, and put his spirit in you, and place you in your own land, that a king would be coming to you, a Messiah that was promised. The people of God were waiting for this for quite some time, and John makes this profound statement. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It could not be any more obvious, at least to a Jewish or Hebrew audience, that he wants to parallel Genesis 1 at verse 1, the very beginning of all things. God is doing something. And if you were to look at that verse, you'd recognize that in the beginning, according to Genesis chapter 1, God said, he spoke something. And when God spoke, when this word was spoken, this word brought forth activity. God said what he'd do, and then he made good on what it is that he said he would do. He followed through. And this is different than all of the ancient world, because in the ancient world, the gods don't speak. The gods never speak. In fact, you go to the temple and you make the sacrifices and you run the routine. And at the end of the day, you wonder, how is all this going to work out? Is it going to be okay? Is this God going to follow through? But this God speaks. And when this God speaks, things come into existence. And John's point is the exact same. In the beginning was the Word, this Word that was spoken that did something. And the Word was with God and the Word was God. And now this Word is coming to us. And the Word, of course, is the word logos. Say it with me, logos. It's not a Bible software. I want you to think of the logos as being the actualizing principle of all things. This is what the Greeks believed. Think of it more succinctly like this. Think of it as the glue that holds everything together. So the logos, the principle that holds all things together, it's what makes the sun and the moon and the stars work in their due seasons. It's what makes human beings breathe, and somehow this nourishes your heart and your brain and allows you to move. It allows the whole idea of cognition, that we can use speech or words, and somehow these little bones in our ears, they rattle and it sends signals to our brain, and somehow we make meaning of it, although as connected as we are, sometimes we're really disconnected in the process. But it's the glue the glue that holds all things together isn't a principle, it's God. And this word that not only says something but does something is coming into the world for hundreds of years. God promised what it is that he would do. And now the good word that John is giving us is this: God is going to make good on his promise. He's acting. And so this word that was spoken forth in the darkness, that shined forth, in him was light and life. And it's the light and life of all people. Now there's something different for you. I wonder today if we've made life just about biological existence. And that's good. I mean, we need to breathe to live. Our hearts need to pump to keep going. Our brains need to function to keep all of this going. But that's not really life. That's existence. There's something different about this life that God gives us, a life that's filled with meaning and purpose and richness. It's the joy of when our team wins. It's the sadness of when they lose. It's the grace of being with people who care about you when you feel lonely. That's life. It's all of the good things that God brings into our life, more than just beating hearts and ticking brains and breathing lungs. It's all of it. That's life. And that life is coming into the world, John tells us. And for all of us who are in darkness, for all of us who have struggled, for all of us are wondering, God, when are you going to act? When is it time? God's promises are beginning to come true. The problem is, how many of us look for different promises to come true other than the ones that we get? How many times have we prayed for something and said, okay, God, I got a great plan? It's almost as if we presented on PowerPoint. Let me give you the 3 points to this thing. There's a poem with it and a fantastic illustration. I've got some metrics and statistics as to how we do this thing together. And there's a timeline. You'll notice the implementation timeline on slide 7, God. And you're going to notice that your timeline might be 400 years, but mine is 40 minutes. So we can get this whole thing done together if you'll just follow my plan. And then God does something and we say, that's not what I wanted. That's not what I expected. That's not how I thought you were going to do it. Poor Mandy, I think about her when it comes to this. She thought she married an accountant. And accountants are great, right? Okay, you didn't laugh. I mean, we're kind of stable and predictable, and she figured, here's this guy, and we're going to live in the same city, and we're going to raise 2 kids. It's going to be great, and you know, life has this trajectory. And then one day, I screwed it all up, and I said in the middle of a Meijer grocery store, I said, hey, I think God's calling me to be a pastor. And she goes, oh, no, he's not. And she was less than pleased. And everything changed. We had to leave our home. We had to leave family. We had to leave what we knew. We had to leave stability. We had to leave predictability. And this same cycle repeats itself. And I bet if you look at your life, you've had things happen in the same way. Maybe you grew up in this town, and that's all well and good. Lexington's a great place. But I suspect if you were to look at the trajectory and the tangents of your life, you would realize that you had plans. And in so many different ways, God had a different plan, yes? You thought you'd be going north, but you ended up west. You figured the timeline was 40 minutes and God took 40 years. This is the way that God works. He said it. He promised it. He's doing it. But his way, the question is, do you believe that he does it for your good? Do you believe that God knows better than you? Do you trust him enough to go when he says to go, or to stay when he says to stay? Do you believe it? And maybe even better question, do you live like it? I've been asking this question, church, for 5 years now here at St. Luke, and the response is always hauntingly the same. You're still shocked. And I think that's how it went for the people in John's day. They're asking when and where and how quickly. And what John tells us is that Jesus came into the world, and yet the world didn't know him. He came to his own people, and his own people didn't receive him. Why not? Because he wasn't what they expected. We had a different idea. We had a better plan. Don't you remember slide 7 on the PowerPoint presentation that we put together? It was fantastic. I mean, it had graphics and tables and everything. And there were shiny buttons and illustrations. I mean, come on, God, really? This is what you're doing? This guy? The one who's born to two poor teenagers? He's the solution to the problem? Seriously, right now? We miss the Savior right in front of us, don't we? He shows up and we go, him? You want this plan, God? You got this desire for my life? Because I've got this whole thing mapped out. I took a test when I was a junior in high school that told me I was supposed to do this. Do you all remember that test? What a horrible idea. Who knows the plans and the things of God? So we've always got a plan, and yet God, he said something, he's going to fulfill something, and the way he's going to fulfill it is according to his purposes and his plans, not only for your life, but for all of this creation. Maybe our hearts need to be more open, don't they? I think about when we brought our dog Arnie home. He rode in my lap the whole way. And we showed up, and his favorite at our house is Mama. I get it. Totally get it. But the thing is as much as Mama might be his favorite, Sarah's the one who saved him. Because she had a plan and a purpose, and she prayed hard. And it's funny how when we place this little 5-pound creature into her arms, he shook like he didn't even know the one who had pulled him out of darkness. How about for us? When God shows up in our lives and we're placed into his arms and his care, why is it that we're so surprised? Why is it that we shake as if we don't know the one who saved us and is guiding and directing our steps, who has great plans for each one of us, who wants to use us and help us fulfill the purposes he has for us? We can miss Jesus, can't we? And maybe the reason we miss him is because all too often we lack his presence in our lives. We're always looking for a different, better, stronger, prettier, more exciting kind of glue, aren't we? If I could just have the promotion, that's what would hold my life together. Or if I just had a little more money, that would hold my life together. Or if we could just get our family all on the same page, that's what would hold my life together. Or if I could just have this divine skywriting in the sky, that's what would hold my life together. We're always looking for a different kind of glue, and the glue Jesus offers is the simplicity of the truth of the gospel. That if you receive him and believe in his name, he gives you the right to become an adopted child of God. That's it. It doesn't sound like much, does it? Read 2 chapters later in John's gospel. It didn't to Nicodemus either. What? What do you mean, wherever the wind blows? What are you after? We can see that you're from God. But didn't he have a different plan? It's simple. Receive and believe and be adopted into his family. And it fits our order of salvation, that we have to be regenerated and made new to be adopted and brought into his family. People who aren't born of blood or of the will of people, but of God. And as we're born again, we're brought into the family of God, and God begins to change all things in our lives according to his plan and his purposes and on his timeline. That's the Christmas miracle, yes? God became a flesh and blood, living, breathing, dying, rising again person for each one of us to reveal the depths of God's love for us. You know, every week, Mandy and I drive by this bus stop. It's one of the best parts of living in the neighborhood that we are in. In an adjacent neighborhood, there's this little boy who gets on a bus. I love this moment when I get to see it. And the little boy and his mom, they have this routine, and they do it the same way every time, and you're waiting behind the bus as it's stopped, and the red lights are flashing, and in that moment, you know, you could almost miss it, because you got 18 different things that you're concerned about, and now you've got to stop for the bus, and how long are we going to be here? And the routine isn't exactly the quickest. But there's this beautiful moment that happens, where the little boy hugs the mom, he walks up the steps, sits in the same bus seat every time, and the mama stands outside. It doesn't matter if it's raining or snowing or as hot as the blazes of Kentucky in July, she gives him the heart sign and says, "I love you." And with that, the little boy waves, and the bus takes him down the road. And I think that's how it goes with God for each one of us. He became a flesh and blood, living, breathing, dying, rising again, human being, so we could know the love of God right here, right now, in every season, whether we're struggling or high up on the mountaintop. God wants us to know and to see and to feel and to experience His love and to trust Him in all things. Do we? Will we take the ride and trust that God will deliver on a promise? Maybe that's the question. I've been saying it since the very beginning of this series, that before the beginning of time, before the foundations of the world were laid, God chose us in Christ to be part of His family. And if you want to know if God does what He says, it's very, very simple. You look to John 1. You look to the incarnation of a Savior, and you realize He absolutely follows through. He will in your life too. You can bet your life on it. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank You. We thank You that You love us. You know, we say that every Sunday, but sometimes words just lose their meaning in an incredibly connected yet disconnected world. Help us realize what it is that You're up to today and join You in it. We give You thanks that You indeed became flesh and blood for each one of us, so that the glory of God would be revealed not only to us but in us. And so our prayer as we begin to make the turn towards Holy Week is come and have Your way in each one of us. Help us to yield our plans to the promises of Your word, which are always fulfilled. Our prayer is that You would be not only Lord and Savior, but leader in all that we do, in all that we say, and in all that we are. In Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.